got it right. Amen. Well, like preacher said, the music's been good. And the Bible says a false balance is an abomination of the Lord. So we might balance that out a little bit. Amen. Actually, we've had a request. But as you can see, we're singing anyway. From where I'm standing, it's been a good meeting. Amen. We've had a good time. We've had liberty of the Lord. You guys treat us second to nowhere. That we go, we appreciate that. We schedule every other year, and we're on a schedule for 2017. If the Lord continues to tarry and sees fit to let us stay at it, and we hope He does. And that seems like a long time, but it comes around, and when you stay busy, then the meeting starts, and man, like seems like that. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, thinking for my wife, because if I get her started, you know what happens. And we really just, we love you, and we appreciate you. And you guys have an incredible music ministry here, and you're going to appreciate it a lot more in about 3 seconds. Help us out, Lord. In the land of Judea, across the dark sea, God sent His Son to redeem you and me. As a lamb without spot, He was slain for my sin, and He purchased salvation for all mortal men. In a tomb owned by Joseph, His body was laid. They thought it was over, but on that third day, they found His grave clothes and napkin close by, and an angel announcing that He was alive. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because He lives, I can live too. And because He lives, I can live too. There were many who'd seen Him and proved Him alive. After 40 days, He arose in the sky. To those gathered round, the angels did say, "This Jesus who left will return the same way." Many years have gone by since He left us that day. Still we are looking, we watch and we wait for the sound of the trumpet to ring through the skies. Then God's people will leave in the blink of an eye. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because He lives, I can live too. And because He lives, I can live too. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because He lives, we can live too. And because He lives, we can live too. Amen. All right, that was special enough. Amen. Amen. Keep praying for my wife. She got me up here singing by myself, that's what. And we need your prayers. We're traveling and we go into a place and people are just getting over something or just getting into something, and it's been a rough couple of months for us, and we're not complaining, but we are asking for prayers. That's not the same thing, is it? I hope not, because I wouldn't even want to begin to attempt to do anything for the Lord if it's not okay to ask for prayer. All right. Take your Bible, go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. That doesn't mean you're not going to get, you know. So here's how this one goes. A group of psychiatrists were attending a convention, and four of them, they are bored, and they decided to leave, and they got up and walked out together, and they're on the outside of the convention hall, and one of them said to the other three, he said, people are always coming to us with all their guilt and fears and problems, but we have no one that we can go to when we have problems. The others agreed. Then one said, since we're all professionals, why don't we just take some time right now and hear each other out? And the other three agreed. The first one said, I have an uncontrollable desire to kill my patients sometimes. The second psychiatrist said, you know, I love expensive things, and I mean, I find ways to cheat my patients out of their money whenever I can so that I can buy more stuff. The third said, you know what, I found out that there's a lot of money to be made dealing drugs, and I got some of my patients dealing prescription drugs for me. The fourth one said, you know, I know I'm not supposed to, but I got to tell you, no matter how hard I try, I cannot seem to keep a secret. All right. Am I on, brother? It's on. All right, good. Because nobody wants to hear that again anyway. Ezekiel chapter 1, look with me in verse number 4. And the prophet writes this, he says, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof, came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a cast foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they forehead their faces and their wings. Are you getting it? Clear as a bell, right? And their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. What a description. Verse number 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they forehead the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they forehead the face of an ox on the left side. They also had the face of an eagle. Now, truth be known, we're Bible believers, so I believe that just the way it's written, but just to be honest, that's not a simple passage or an easy passage to be able to visualize. I mean, am I the only one? Amen. I look at that and I'm trying to. And so I've asked the Lord to help me be able to break that down in such a way that from now on you'll never have another problem being able to visualize these four living creatures. That's what I'd like to do tonight, to finish out this meeting. But I got a problem, because I can't get it myself. Amen. But I'll tell you what I can get. It says in verse 10, and as for the likeness of their faces, they had four faces. And tonight, I want to preach to you about these four faces in a way that we can apply them practically to us as Christians. Would that be all right tonight? Oh, Father, it's been a good meeting, and what a privilege it's been to be here, and we're treated so much better than we deserve. And Lord, that's just the way it is. As we travel, we have no regrets. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd give these folks the desires of their heart and meet with us and speak to us and just let something be said that'll, like, been prayed already last longer than the rest of the evening. I love you tonight, Lord, And I thank you for the friendship of Blessed Oak Baptist Church, Brother Sister Stevens, and these folks, our friends. And Lord, I look forward to serving you together with them, maybe from afar, if you decide for it to be so, to come back. But Lord God, I just pray we'd all encourage one another to stay in the good fight till you see fit to end it. And what a good fight it is, too. So bless the message tonight, and we'll just thank you if anything goes right. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Okay, four faces. I guess I'd call this four faces of Christian. These four living creatures, though, that are described, they represent the four major genres of animal life, man. And then the wild animals represented by the lion, and then the domesticated animals represented by the ox, and the flying, amen, except for the ducks, is represented by an eagle. It says in Revelation 4 and 8, here's what they do. Here's their job description. It says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when they get done, they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when they get done, you got it. Amen. That's what they do. But boy, listen, you know why we can't describe it? You know, we can attempt to. Some people feel some kind of obligation to be able to explain everything in the Bible. Listen, if we could, wouldn't that mean that God's no smarter than we are? I am looking forward to things like this and other things that I'm not going to be able to grasp until I get to heaven. And that's one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing. But there's a practical application tonight for these four faces, if you'll allow me that liberty. And take your Bible, go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And so the four faces, and the first one you saw was the face of a man. It says this in Psalm 8, in verse number 3. David says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that thou visitest him? Boy, that's a question right there. What is man? Let me tell you something tonight. There have been times when I've been in church service and I've heard the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And boy, when the preaching was over and the invitation was given, I mean, I was so aware that God had spoken to my heart, whether it was convicting me of something that I needed to get straightened out in my life. And I thank God for that. Listen, Holy Ghost conviction is what makes Bible Christianity real. So you want to come with an attitude, regardless of what's preached, you want to come with an attitude, Lord, speak to my heart. Amen. And if you'll keep it that real, amen. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll remove a lot of the devices that the devil uses to get us critical with each other and with the preacher and amen. And so I've been to the altar, and boy, there have been times where the lovely Lord Jesus Christ has been preached, and I've gone and I've just simply said, oh God, what is man? I'm thinking, Lord, I just can't believe, seeing who you are, that you'd even give the time of day to folks like me or folks like us. I said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That first face is the face of a man. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to talk about these four faces tonight. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And the Bible says this. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Of all the things God created, through there the 6 days of creation, man is the only thing that was created in his own image. Amen. In his own image. Man, what is man? Well, man is the only thing created. Listen, I don't mean we look like God. I sure hope not. Amen. But God is a triune being. You know this. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And man is created in his image in that he's a triune being as well. Now, the three parts to man are listed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm sure you're familiar. It says spirit, soul, and body. Therefore, we are created in the image of God in that there's three parts to the human. Now, notice this. I've been guilty of this. Perhaps you've been guilty of this. Even though we know the three parts, and even though we're Bible believers, I've been guilty of quoting it like this. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. All right? Those are the right parts, but that's not the right order. And to me, that typifies the stinking, subtle flesh always trying to run to the head of the class when in God's economy, the order is spirit, soul, and body. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the psalmist wrote, and according to Genesis chapter 1, man was created in the image of God. Not only that, he was put in charge. Well, it says he was given dominion. I mean, come on, those plants and those animals needed somebody to boss them around. No, I don't think the authority that God gave to have dominion over the creation was a position of a domineering thing as much as it was a position of responsibility. He was given the commission to keep and dress the garden. And when God gives authority, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the home, and sometimes we get confused that, bless God, I'm the boss. If you really stop and look at it scripturally, that's a position of great responsibility to God. Pastor's responsible to God for the church. The husband's responsible to God for the home. Amen. Nod your head or something. Yeah. Amen. That's what man is. Amen. He's put in charge. And look in chapter 2. We're in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And man is the only thing that God created that became a living soul. You know why that is? Because man was created exclusively for the purpose of fellowship with God. Amen. And on the sixth day, in verse 31, chapter 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good after the sixth day. Amen. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. The face of a man. What is man? I'll tell you what man is. God's prize creation. Of everything that he did there in the 6 days, boy, mankind is his prize crowning creation. Amen. And in Genesis chapter 3, didn't take long, man became the target of the enemy of everything righteous, and fellowship with God was severed because sin entered. Amen. Like it says in Romans 5, and it's still that way. And so the Lord came up with a solution, didn't he? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when it says, I don't care what the wackos try to say, it isn't the planet that God cares about, because the pronoun is whosoever. He's talking about the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Boy, they mean a lot to God if he was, and he did, to give his only begotten Son. Boy, if the souls of people mean that much to God, maybe on occasion we need to reevaluate how much they mean to us. There's four faces on these four living creatures, and the first one is the face of a man. And let me tell you again, what is man? He's God's prized creation. Amen. And he cared about him a lot. And you're glad he cared about you enough to send you the gospel, but there's folks driving up down University Avenue and all of this city and all of this country right now that he died for just the same. And we need to nurture that burden to reach others for Christ. And I'm going to give you some credit here this week. I probably heard more about that from just people talking to people and effort being made than most places I go. For that, I commend you. Don't get a big head. Just keep at it. Amen. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man. Number one, that was the man. But number two, it says, and the face of a lion. A lion. Revelation 5. Go there. Go there. That'll give me a chance to get something to drink. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. And look with me in verse number 5. That second verse is that second face is the face of a lion. Revelation 5:5 it says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You know, I got a poster in my office with names of the Lord on it, quite a list. And there are times where I'll just push away from the desk and look over there and just start reading them and working my way down that list and all the names of our lovely Lord. And buddy, I'll tell you what I like. I like when it comes to the lion of the tribe of Judah. Boy, he came as a lamb the first time, but not next time. Not next time. The Lord's called a lion. And we all know too that the great imitator. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's not a lion. He's an imitator. He's a wannabe lion. Amen. But the Lord is the lion. Amen. Amen. So that second face is the face of a lion. But listen, I'm trying to make this practical for you and I tonight. Let me tell you that in Proverbs 30 and verse 30, the Bible says this, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. You've heard it all your life. The lion's the king of the beasts. Amen? Boy, I tell you, when I was a little kid, I grew up outside of Toledo, Ohio. And Toledo's not a big town, but it had a pretty good zoo. Pretty good zoo for the size of the town. And I was about 8 years old, and I got taken to the zoo. And my mom and dad, I don't know, probably my dad was a carpenter, so he probably was between jobs. And they took me to the zoo. And boy, I'll tell you what, I didn't want to see the birds. And I wasn't interested in the snakes. Amen. And I still can't just get a lot of excitement going when somebody invites me to an aquarium. And I understand. I can, but I tell you where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to where the lions were. And back then, so this is in the late 50s, it wasn't environmentally correct habitat for the animals. I mean, they didn't try to make it look like Africa. They were in cages. Big brick buildings. The one I wanted to see, it said carnivore. Yeah. Over the door, and you go in there, and there's big cages, kind of like a jail. Okay, and boy, that first cage on the corner, once you got in, there it was. Here I'm a little guy, and there is a full-grown male African lion pacing. And I'd seen him on TV, black and white, amen, but there I am, face to face with a real one, and I couldn't believe how big he was. Huge. Big old paws. Big old head. Kind of like preacher's dog. Big old head. Yeah. Amen. And boy, that thing is pacing, and I'm like a little kid, and then that lion, he stopped and looked right at me and licked his lips, and I knew what he was thinking too. He goes, there's a little chicken nugget for me right there. Amen. I started to step back with those cheetahs in that cage. I didn't know what to do. Amen. My dad said, just settle down, David. Amen. And boy, I was impressed. Here I am, first mention, first viewing of the King of the Beasts. Then I walked down a little farther. In the next cage had a full-grown Bengal, male Bengal tiger. Yeah, he's pretty impressive too. Matter of fact, from my vantage point, I could see the lion, and I could see the tiger, and it was curious to me, the tiger was bigger. Tiger was a little taller. Tiger was longer. Tiger did the same thing when he looked at me, he licked his chops. I mean, oh man. And I thought to myself as a kid, wonder why the lion is the king of the beasts, because he's certainly not the biggest animal. But the Bible tells you why the lion's the king of the beasts, because Proverbs 30:30 says, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. You know what makes a lion the king of the beasts? It isn't his size. It's because God put something in his heart, and it's courage. It's boldness. As a matter of fact, another verse in Proverbs, somewhere here, give me a second. Chapter 28, verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When I look through that list and I see that first face of that man, and boy, it reminds me that maybe I better take a little bit more time to pray for the Lord, a little bit more time to witness, a little bit more time not to spend all my time going to town just to get stuff. And to make a point to nurture a burden for souls that Jesus Christ, Bible says in Titus chapter 2, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. But when I saw that face of that lion, boy, I'm reminded that, boy, in the day and age in which we live, we need to nurture the courage to make a stand for Jesus Christ. Acts 4:13 says this, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What was impressive about them wasn't their credentials. What was impressive about them is that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You and I are going to need the courage of a lion. And more as the day approaches in this perverse age, because this world desperately needs to know that somebody's been with Jesus. There's so much distraction, so many religions, so many anti-religions. This world needs somebody to take a stand for the real thing. And it's less popular now than it was when I got saved just 20-some years ago. But that lion reminds me that boldness that lion had, that boldness that represents our Savior, that boldness that those early disciples had. Amen. We can still have it, and we still need it. Amen. That's what I saw when I saw that face of a lion. It said, as for the likeness of their faces, they forehead the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And that second face was the face of a lion. And then that third face, that Bible says, on the right side, and they forehead the face of an ox. An ox on the left side. Go to Proverbs 14, and we're going to go into the verse where it says, much increase, much increase. I'll come back to the beginning later. But I want you to look at Proverbs 14 and verse 4. I guess I'll give you the verse. That'll help you. And four, verse 4, it says, much increase is by the strength of the ox. Now, the ox, okay? Ox are big. And ox are strong. And they're tough. I'm talking about tough. They taste good, too. They cook up nice. Amen. You know, I'm from the persuasion that beef, it's what for supper. Now listen, you invite me over, and whatever you do, that's fine. But if you ask me, oh, Brother Spurgeon, What do you and your wife like? It's easy, man. Beef! That's what I like. Now, lest I offend anybody, I want to acknowledge that the chicken is the National Baptist bird. I get that. So I'm going to give you my only chicken joke. There's this guy driving down out in the country, and a chicken comes out of the woods. Comes out of the woods, and he's moving pretty good pace, and he turns, and he's running parallel with the road. And this is the fastest moving chicken this guy's ever seen. And so he's trying to keep up with this chicken, trying to figure out how he's running so fast. And I mean, 30 miles an hour, this chicken's moving, and that guy is marveling. And the chicken makes a turn, and he sees that this chicken has got three legs. Three legs. He said, no wonder this chicken's so fast and corners so good. He turned and headed up the driveway to the chicken ranch. And the guy says, I got to find out. I never heard of it or seen a three-legged chicken. And he headed up the driveway, and he sees the farmhouse, and he sees the barn, and he sees the farmer. Tell you what else he saw. He saw three-legged chickens everywhere. They're running around, and they're all running fast. The guy gets up there to the farmer, and he says, hey, what's going on here? I've never seen a three-legged chicken. Well, how'd you do that? And he said, well, my family, we like chicken. And my kids, they especially like the drumstick. So I've, you know, been raising chickens for a long time, and I just figured out how to breed a three-legged chicken. And the guy said, that's amazing. How do they taste? And the guy said, I don't know. We've never been able to catch one. Hey, chicken's cool, but beef, right? That third face was the face of an ox. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse number 9, the Bible says this, for it is written in the law of Moses, and that'd be over in Deuteronomy 25, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Well, you know he does. Treading out the corn. This isn't a job that's like when Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen out there in a field, and that'd be work. But that's not what treading out the corn is. That is being yoked to a big old grist wheel. Is that the right word? Big old wheel in a mill, walking around in circles day in, day out, hour after hour, pushing that wheel so it's grinding the corn. Which, amen, the fruit of that, amen, is making meal. That was very important. But it's not a very glamorous job. Not a very exciting job. Maybe that's why they call it work. You know, there's people that are sitting on a rear end, not doing nothing. They say, well, I can't find a job. And then when we say, well, so-and-so's hiring, and so-and-so's hiring, and so-and-so's hiring, and they say, well, that doesn't sound like fun. No, no. Fun is what? That's not work. Work is doing whatever you got to do to take care of business. And if you get a job working and you have to have something left over, then you go out and have a little fun. But I'll tell you what, we live in a day and age where people, well, I don't feel like doing that. Let me tell you something about that ox. When I see the face of that ox, it reminds me that God left us here to work. He's a worker. He left us here to work. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, let me say, and you know this, and we're on the same page, no doubt about it. He did not leave us here to work to get saved. The Bible says in verse 8, for by grace he is saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And us independent Baptists, we put verse 9 in there so fast, some people probably don't even realize it's another verse. For by grace he is saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, because we don't want anybody to even begin to think that we don't know that you're not. Well, so many people do think that. That's the problem. But verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not talking about day. That ox reminds us that we're supposed to work, but I got to clarify that it's not work to get saved. And verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship. Now, we don't have to work to stay saved. I had a guy want to argue a little bit. He says, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved. And I'm just waiting, you know, where to insert my opinion here. And he says, yeah, you guys think you can do whatever you want and you can't lose your salvation. And I said, well, I don't believe that. I believe you can lose your salvation, no doubt about it. He didn't know what to think, man. Kind of disarming. He says, you do? I said, absolutely. I said, but if you ever get His, so that book says we're His workmanship. Well, you ever get saved by grace through faith and you get the gift of eternal life, you're His workmanship. You don't have to work to stay saved. You hear me? But I tell you what, we are supposed to work. The rest of the verse says this. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. That ox reminds me that we're supposed to be putting forth some effort, labor, work to get other people saved. It ain't magic. Can I say to you tonight that there's no shortage of work? John chapter 4, the Lord said it Himself, verse 35, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And they were in John 4, and they still are. There's no shortage of work, but there seems to be a shortage of oxen. Lord also said in Matthew 9, verse 37, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That oxen reminds me that God left us here with a purpose. Go back to Proverbs 14. We'll get the beginning of the verse now. Proverbs 14, verse 4. And it says this, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but it looks nice, and it'll smell nice, much nicer than if the oxen had been in there recently. Reminds me of the modern Kumbaya church. Tell you something, you get rid of that book, and that's all you've got is appearances. But that book says much increase is by the strength of the ox. It says, as for the likeness of their faces, that third face was the face of an ox. And it reminds me that God left us here, amen, with a purpose. And it's to work until He says it's time to stop. All right, now, the last face. It said they four had the face of an eagle. Now, eagles are cool. I like eagles. And I'm okay with it being a symbol of the United States. I am a patriot. I love my country. I don't care. I'm a veteran. I'm the son of a veteran. I'm the father of a veteran. I love America. Say, you do? Yeah, that's why I'm trying to win some Americans to Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm not on the bandwagon. Amen. I'm just not going to get on the America bashing bandwagon like seems to be so easy to do. The communists hated America. The Muslims hate America. I don't want to be on that. I don't want to be with that crowd. Amen. And I'm not ignorant. I know we're a mess. My Bible says it's going to be that way. But it also says redeeming the time. Face of an eagle. Eagles are known for a couple things. Eagles are known for their strength. Yeah, let me give you some examples. Eagle in flight, full-grown male eagle, and no doubt, condition optimum, it's capable of speeds of up to 150 miles an hour. Could you imagine? Could you imagine a bird flying 150 miles an hour? They've been clocked doing it. Listen, I jumped out of airplanes in the military, and whether it was a C-130 prop job or a C-141 Starlifter, they slowed that aircraft down to 150 miles an hour to open those paratrooper doors. Amen. But I just got to say, about 8 or 9 times, I got to be the first man in the door. And I'm trying to think, When I read that, I'm trying to think, if they'd opened that door, and I looked out, and there was a bird flying along right next to us, I'd have been impressed. Amen. I mean, you got to be pretty strong to fly that fast. And then I read that an eagle is capable of diving from a height of half a mile at speeds of up to 200 miles an hour. It's amazing what happens when you get gravity involved in there. The eagle's known for its strength. Once prey is secured, an eagle can carry its own body weight several miles. Full-grown male eagle weighs 12 to 15 pounds and could pick up a lamb or a little dog like mine and, well, yeah, before he kind of went off his diet. And amen, several miles. Hey, listen, eagles mentioned in your Bible, the most famous verse. Some of you guys, dogs, don't have to worry about eagles. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." What a verse. Amen? Boy, if learning to wait on the Lord yields that kind of strength, sounds like it's a good idea to me. But eagle's not only known for its strength, eagle's known for its vision. All right, be prepared to be impressed. Forward eye placement on the eagle gives it unparalleled depth perception and a 270-degree peripheral vision. If you're diving at 200 miles an hour, unparalleled depth perception would be the thing to have. Amen. That and good brakes. Amen. But that eye placement, the Lord designed that eagle to be that way so that he could be aware of what's going on around him. 270-degree peripheral vision. Amen? You know what it says? It says in Ephesians 5 and 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You know what that means? That means that as a child of God, the Bible says that the devil has devices, more than one. And buddy, it's more important than ever that we're aware of what's going on all around us. And I mean, if you want to finish your course, because he's not going to come in the back door and right the way you expect him. When I look at that eagle, and I think that eagle, man, he's in a dangerous world. And he's got to know what's going on around him all the time because there's predators. And we need to know what's going on around us all the time because there's predators. The eagle also has up to 3.6 times human acuity and can spot an object as small as a rabbit from as far as 2 miles away. That's incredible vision that God gave that bird. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." When I look at that beast and that fourth face and that face of the eagle, and I'm reminded that we as Christians need the vision, amen, of an eagle, because people are perishing all around us. And I understand many, in spite of Calvary and our best efforts, but I fear that some around us, in the shadows of our steeples, if you'll let me say it like that, are dying and going to hell because we've lost our vision. There's places where the church has become a social club, and we gather around and we sing and we enjoy each other's company. And again, I commend this church for having more of a burden for the community than some places I go. "As for the likeness of their faces, they forehead the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they forehead the face of an ox on the left side. They fore also had the face of an eagle." Remember, that man was God's prized creation, the object of his love. And in spite of easily succumbing to the temptation of Satan, God still commended love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That lion represents boldness. Acts 4 and 29 says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak that word." That early church needed it, and we need it too. And it was available, and it's still available. Amen. Boldness. It says in John 9 and 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Back in the Midwest where I come from, there's factories, auto plants, different factories, and some of them run three shifts, and there'll be a whistle or a bell or a buzzer that goes off, and it's shift change. And that means one shift retires and gets their little lunchbox and goes home. But this thing right here that we're involved in, there's no bell, there's no buzzer to tell us when it's time to quit. There's a trumpet, and it ain't blown yet, and it's not time to quit. And that face of that ox, needs to remind us that there's work to be done. And that eagle, you know what somebody told me about the eagle? It is the only animal God created that can look directly into the sun and not have damage to his eyes. Isn't that neat? Don't start Googling that, brother darling. I can tell. Amen. Isn't that cool? Let me tell you something. One of these days, I'm going to get a glorified body. You know what I'm going to be able to do? I'm going to be able to look directly into the sun without any eye damage. But between now and then, amen, we need the vision of that eagle so we can spot opportunities the Lord sends our way. He's not done. When he is, we'll be the first to know. Absolutely, we'll be the first to know. And until then, well, we need to be busy about the Lord's business. Four faces of a Christian. I'm glad I am one. And I'm glad God gives us something to do. I hope you're one. I hope you're a Christian. I hope you get something. If you're not, you can be. You sure need to be, for it's too late. Let's all stand. Preacher's going to come. Thank you, church. The Lord dealt with you about any of this. Respond. Do business with God. Amen.
All right. Let's open up to number 334. 334. Excellent sermon on just a vision of what you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing, some character things, some characters, attributes that the Lord needs a Christian to have. Now, it's been preached all week, but it is a painfully bankrupt day we live in as far as that's concerned. Christians today seem to have less and less of the character attributes it takes to really be a Christian. That flies into the face of battling the flesh and walking after the Spirit. I wonder if you're burdened about something tonight, some of these things he spoke of. Why don't you come get those things squared away with the Lord? You've had opportunities all week. There's still yet work to be done. Why don't you come? Why don't you ask the Lord to give you a vision for these things? Why don't you meditate the next few days on the four faces of these beasts in heaven? Just think about what they stand for. And think about how much or how little of those attributes that you have. Thank you. Father, I pray tonight give us a good few moments of reflection here. We should have been looking inward all this week anyway. But Father, we've been preached at now these several times. The meeting is over in that respect, and yet there's so much left to be done. We have yet to apply all the things we've heard. I pray you'd help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 334. Second stanza. This week, you have one more left in you. Number 508. 508.
Through from their labors, rest.
Good. It's been a good meeting. Thank you for your generosity, your labor, ladies in the nursery, all the things that have gone on, all the food that everybody helped out with this week. Really, really appreciate it. And I don't have any qualms about or concerns about sending Brother Spurgeon away with a generous love offering, so we'll get that all counted out. I'll let you know later. And anyway, thank you for your faithfulness this week.
Amen.
Got more work to do, so get to go back at it. Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Paul Oberlander, would you pray for us?
Yeah. Well, Father, once again, we just thank you so much for this week. And Lord, it's been a blessing in my heart this meeting. I know you've dealt with me, Lord, on many things. And I just pray, Lord, that I carry those things not only through tomorrow, but for a long time to come, Lord, maybe the rest of my days here. And Lord, I just pray you bless everything that was said and done here this week. And may it be for thy glory, Lord, and be for Brother Spurgeon and his travels, Lord. Heal them up. Get their car back to them, Lord, and just bless them with their next meeting. Mm. Lord, I just love you and thank you so much. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night.